The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the HSP SmackDown Review. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Berga. And yes, summer is heating up. We are in SummerSlam mode. It is this weekend. But first, we're going to recap everything that happened on SmackDown, the go-home. Trendsetter, how are you doing, man? We're here. Summer's almost over. We're packing up here, the studio here.
Dude,
we're
kind of
saying goodbye to Studio 51 here as we pack up, and God knows we'll be recording for the month of September. But it's kind of bittersweet as this studio is bare, and you're gonna hear a little echo. But what can you do, right?
Oh yeah, I mean it's just part of the process in terms of we're trying to revamp and we've relaunched the High Spot Podcast. You guys are joining us now here on the unofficial WWE podcast for the HSP SmackDown review. And again, don't forget also catch us on all social media out there at High Spot Podcast, Instagram, also Twitter. Make sure you follow us on our YouTube channel, and where all great podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. But going back to Jeff's point, yes, we are moving things. We're moving things to a different location, trying to amp up the production quality and the production value we do for the show. We enjoy doing it. But again, you know, it's go home or it's go large or go home, right? And basically this is the go home edition of SmackDown, where we're going to, you know, build up to, unfortunately, the end of summer, but it's the biggest summer of the year for the WWE for SummerSlam. And it was quite interesting, to say the least, Jeff.
Thunderdome.
Yes, that was the excitement everyone was talking about.
We were so lucky for them to choose SmackDown to launch Thunderdome, and we're going to talk about that here for you guys on the show today.
Know kind of why they did it, though, right? I mean, well, ratings were bad. They need something
more. Yeah,
this is
McMahon's baby. This McMahon looks so proud out there opening up the show. I mean, this is his deal. You got the virtual fans, the setup, and all I'm thinking is, like, God, man, they could have used all this to pay the furloughed superstars. But that's another topic for another show. But, of course, it's Vince McMahon's baby. He's out there. He's proud. And a happy early birthday to Vince McMahon, because his birthday is next week. He's going to be the Magic 75. But he introduces Thunderdome. And your first impressions about it, let's put all the other, you know, political BS to the side. Hey, listen, when WWE does something, they go all out for it. And, you kind of looked believable that there were fans out there.
Yeah, they definitely added some sound effects. You have the same thing we see now in the NBA, where you have the fans remotely in their homes, virtually there. Gave a nice touch to it. Different set, different look to it. Very appealing. More lights, more pyro, which I think how they can afford to do the pyro, because that's, you know, not in the budget. But hey, this is the Thunderdome's first show. So all in all, presentation, great. But then it comes to the point where a lot of people will be talking about it. Presentation, great. Appearance, awesome. Can the product improve? Can you give me something rather than the same thing? Because it's different when, you know, you take it from the Performance Center, which is all they did a good job, you know, making it look nice and presentable. But now we're moving to another area in the situation where, like, can now the product get up that other level? Because they paid a nice nickel and dime for that set and looked really nice. So you hoped that they would put a good effort for this go-home show, because it's the excitement of preparation for the end of summer.
Yeah, well said, trendsetter. With that, I'm going to go home, because you basically are at the
there
bowl.
There you go. I always right? do that.
Guys,
that is my talent. That is my talent.
So
very
this would
few
be,
that I have.
This would be very heavily Fiend and Braun Strowman, because I totally believe this is going to be the main event for SummerSlam. If you look at the other matches, obviously I don't really have a whole list of matches that are going to be scheduled for SummerSlam. You know, the main ones, of course, Bayley will defend her SmackDown Women's Championship against Asuka, and, we'll go from there, and then Braun and The Fiend. So, very heavily centered. They come face-to-face, trendsetter, in the middle of the ring to hype up, and that would be the whole show, basically hyping up this matchup. They looked face-to-face. You kind of got that feeling, man, they're ready to go. But, of course, they saved it for SummerSlam. And Retribution made their way to interrupt this big-time feel of the match. And what do you say, trendsetter? I mean, the whole locker room came back out. kind of showed unification. There were some little brawls in between amongst the WWE superstars. That's going to happen. AJ Styles kind of like took a cheap shot on Jeff Hardy because that would be the match coming up for the Intercontinental title. Hey, you know what? It's clever on AJ. You know what I mean? It's very clever for AJ to go after Jeff Hardy there. Just your thoughts on this whole thing. You're getting a lot here in the opening segment. You're getting Braun and The Fiend. You're getting Thunderdome. And you're getting Retribution against the WWE locker room. So a lot of stuff going on in the first segment.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, it's building up for that anticipation of, you know, what the ultimate ending of the show is going to be. This huge altercation that we wanted to see between Braun and The Fiend. Bray Wyatt, whatever you want to call him. But this is where I'm confused, Jeff, because just centering just on Braun and Bray Wyatt, if you're building up for this altercation, shouldn't you build up this altercation for the pay-per-view, for the actual event itself? Why are we building up towards the end of the show of these two possibly squaring off against each other? Because, you know, we've talked about it last couple weeks.
They're going to end the fight at SummerSlam, so you're building this.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want them to touch. I don't want them, be in the same ring, you know, get to the point where he looks like going to go to blows, and then, you know, Retribution jumps in, which is a great segue there for WWE. But, you know, in terms of Retribution, it's like, okay, well, now they've invaded Thunderdome. So apparently the Performance Center was not safe. They moved to a different location. Now Thunderdome is not supposed to be safe at all either. Retribution gets a little bit, wave the white flag a little bit, retreated. Again, chaos, but at the same time...
Retribution retreated, right?
Yes, Retribution retreated, Jeff. And I don't know why that's funny. But basically, yeah, that happened. And it's building up for this main event. But again, you said they're trying to build unity within the locker room. There really doesn't seem to be much. They're trying to make this into a whole invasion angle type scenario we saw many, many years ago with the whole WCW, ECW invading WWE. Doesn't have that same type of feel. It's pretty well known right now. We know that they're trying to figure out what they want to do. I don't think they really know what they want to do with Retribution. They're throwing little hints there that, you know, maybe this person might be involved. This person might be involved. There are several people late in the rally to try to get Retribution out of the ring. So that storyline is going to be built up for that later on when we find out what Retribution is and what they're here for.
We get Jeff Hardy backstage being tended to by the trainers, obviously, and the injury that they're going to sell throughout the match and his matchup against AJ Styles coming shortly. And we get Big E defeating Sheamus. The Big E momentum train continues. Sheamus is trying to be that kind of locker room leader, trying to be the face of the WWE backstage as they fight off Retribution. I really didn't catch a lot of Raw, so I'm not sure if Retribution even showed up on Raw, so I don't even know, you know, what that was about. But Big E continues his momentum against a guy that, again, who I thought was gaining momentum as well, but decided to give the win here to Big E, and I really don't mind. So there you go. Big E is 2-0 right now in that singles debut after defeating John Morrison last week.
Yeah, huge momentum, like you said, for Big E right now and showcasing what we already know. He's ready for a singles run. He's ready for a title down the road, hopefully sooner than later. So this is just solidifying what a lot of people on social media, what you and I have talked about before. Big E is ready for that individual run. You know, there are going to be certain situations like, oh, you know, he's going to challenge Sheamus. He is more able to defeat a guy like Sheamus without the scenario where he's distracted and rolling him up. So that's the thing that I'm going to be looking at as the weeks go by. Can really build Big E to the point where he doesn't need outside distraction. He could just basically beat somebody one-on-one. And for the mere fact that they're trying to make it like believable as Big E, you know, can he be? We know he can. So just let him be what he is, a single star.
We get Cesaro and Nakamura against Lucha House Party. Again, I have nothing against Lucha House Party, but we talked about building up this tag team division. And again, when you're throwing out Lucha House Party, it just really, to me, doesn't really make sense. I mean, how are you going to literally build up Cesaro Nakamura when they're taking on a team that's been so poorly booked like Lucha House Party? Again, it's like this little mini feud that, I don't know, if you really are entertained by it, so be it. But I'm really not a trendsetter. We need to build up this tag team division. I know there's some injuries, but, you know, Heavy Machinery right now, Otis is like stuck in La La Land. He's the Money in the Bank winner. He's got the whole Manny Rose thing, but they're really not doing anything with Heavy Machinery. Like, Miz and Morrison should be tag teaming because, well, let's face it, Morrison's singles run is stinking up the joint, and Miz is basically the same as well, so they might as well hook up and go for the tag team gold. But right now, they need to find faces for this tag team division, because Nakamura and Cesaro taking on Lucha House Party right now. It's not something that I'm going to tune into and, you know, be on bated breath for what's going on.
No, it doesn't give me confidence that they haven't even any investment in the tag team division.
Is there even a tag team title on the line at SummerSlam? I don't think so, right? I don't even. I think the only thing I'm looking forward for SummerSlam is the post show, because they're going to go WrestleMania. The show will go on, must go on, where it's kind of like the backstage for WrestleMania. So that's the only thing I'm probably looking forward to at SummerSlam. Like,
jeez, you're really sour today, aren't you?
I am a sourpuss, because the birthday weekend is kind of like, you know, faded out, and now we're...
Yeah, I'm so excited for it now. you're so bitter that it went by.
I've seen an empty... yeah. No,
I thought it was a nice day. Now every other day is miserable compared to that day?
But I mean, if you're excited by Cesaro Nakamura, you know, more power to you.
Yeah, let's perk up a little bit here, Jeff, because we said we're not going to be those type of people here sour about the event.
I know. I'm
and just like, how do you care about this? You know, tag team division, and then I can't get two words in, and Jeff's like, just wants to move on to something else. Dude, come on, man. Get over it. It's SummerSlam. Enjoy it.
Mandy Rose wants to see the best in Sonya. Sonya then comes out, and she's basically... you know, raising the ante here, because the loser leaves WWE. Now, before we even get to this, man, let's thank goodness that Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville are actually okay in real life, because of the whole situation that happened this past week with the stalker broke into Sonya Deville's complex. Very scary stuff, man, and you don't realize the personal lives and the characters they play in the ring, some people just can't decipher that, right? So, I mean, it's a good thing. Great job by the police officers. And just basically glad that Sonya and Mandy are okay.
Yeah, definitely. And again, it garners the scenario where, you know, how do you separate fiction from reality? A lot of people, unfortunately, can't do that. That is just the reality of the situation. People can't distinguish what is real and what is portrayed on television. And yeah, I mean, you're so happy for Sonya Deville that the whole situation, she was not in any danger, but then you find out what the stalker had in mind. Thinking to myself, wow, it's so thankful that she was nowhere in that area, quickly bolted when they heard the alarm and stuff like that. But now, what do you do, because you've built this story between Sonya and Mandy, and it's really hard, although Sonya does a very good job of being that heel, and you want her to lose, and you want her to be, you know, giving her just dues, you know, karma's you know what, right? But now it's kind of hard to do that, because now you're rooting for Sonya because you know what she's gone through. So that's where it kind of impedes into the storyline. But then Mandy, as much as, you know, very much, and I can relate to this, Mandy trying to seek the good in Sonya, trying to think that there's still that good friend of hers that she remembers such a long time ago, and I feel that sentiment, because I think the same way about Jeff every single day. I try to look for the good in Jeff, and it's very difficult sometimes.
Could that be possible because she knows she can't win, that she's trying to get the best out of Sonya? Do you think she's coming in scared because, like,
that's what Sonya thinks.
That seems like a very desperate tactic, right?
And that's what Sonya thinks.
And here's what I got to think about, Trendsetter. Now, the loser leaves WWE. Now, we know that Sonya Deville, you know, Daria Baronato, she's got a very promising career in acting. Mm-hmm. And do you think it's something that maybe she's thought of, that maybe she wants to leave WWE for maybe a bit, take a little hiatus, and, you know, focus on that? Do you think that could be a reason why they've made stipulation into a loser leaves the WWE? Because I don't see Mandy leaving anytime soon. So you kind of got to think that Mandy is going to send Sonya goodbye with a bald head at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen too. I mean, that's the way they're pitting out. We could be surprised, where I told you before, Mandy would be willing to probably have her head shaved. But now that you're raising up the ante, now we've added this stipulation. It's amazing how wrestlers can add stipulations, you know. Mm-hmm. Forget the whole technical aspect of who's writing this in the contract. Let's just throw it out there. A no DQ match and the loser leaves WWE. But we've had scenarios too where, you know, loser leaves town match, retirement matches, your career's on the line. Guys, it doesn't last very long. And if this is a scenario where Sonya Deville wants to take some time, and granted now, due to the circumstances she's been dealing with, maybe it's the right time to take some time off, either to pursue acting, like you said, or just kind of take a break right now, because it's been a crazy last few weeks for Sonya Deville. Again, showcases her ability to portray that she seems she's on the edge. Now, added obviously what's going on in her personal life, on the edge of breaking point right now, and this could be it at SummerSlam where it happens. I don't see Mandy really leaving the scenario, because again, she's still in that storyline with Otis and what happens on, you know, him being the Money in the Bank winner. manager, if you guys, in case you forgot, he is. And, yeah, I think right now adding this adds some intrigue to it, but now I think it kind of puts the writing on the wall that it could be Sonya Deville's exit from the WWE for a short time.
So Sasha Banks, trendsetter, goes there to with a promo with Corey Graves, and we get...
It's Bayley and Sasha in the ring being interviewed by Corey.
So, this is why I'm not trying to be negative today, right? But here's
doing a great job.
Here is my thing, and it's just about being logical, and that's what gets me every time. I think one of the most ridiculous stipulations in WWE are beat the clock matches. What in the world is the point when you know it's like, for example, it's like you're fighting for playoff seating, but you know you'd rather deal with the rest. So you're not going to go hard for it. Why would you go hard knowing that the biggest, like you said, the biggest event of the summer is literally this weekend? And why are you going to go all out for a beat the clock? Yes, you know, listen, Naomi and Sasha Banks, a pretty good match. And then, you know, like I just, your logic to beat the clock matches.
Clearly, I don't like them. And here's the reason why I don't like them. You know why? Because it does no service for the individual who's being beaten in these beat-the-clock matches. Mm-hmm. Now, in this case, it's Naomi. She comes out because, again, they're trying to... There seems to be now a noticeable rift between Bayley and Sasha in terms of they both have to face Asuka.
You know,
who's more on whose side? You know, Sasha mm-hmm. made a comment, hey, you're going to volunteer me again? So you can definitely tell there's some chink in the armor there. But then Naomi comes out and says, hey, how about you guys both face me as a test? Meaning that she's... comparing herself to an Asuka, which we know she's not, as athletic as Naomi is and as all the athletic prowess she has, she's nowhere near comparable to an Asuka in terms of career and what she's accomplished in her career. But then you have Naomi being beaten in about 3 minutes, under 4 minutes, by Sasha Banks via submission. And then you have her defeat Bayley. So it's like, okay, you lost in 3 minutes, and then we have the scenario. It just, to me, it's a whole bunch of jargon. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me why, you know, because... to defeat somebody in a small amount of time and you're going to try to defeat the same person again, to me, makes no sense. It's really more, in my opinion, just a time filler. It was supposed to be whoever won was going to defend their title second. I don't know if it really matters if you're defending second or first in this scenario, in this case. Plus, they haven't really stated what's going to happen. I mean, does Asuka fight Bayley now first and later in the evening fight for the Women's Championship of Raw or back-to-back? We don't know, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, to me, this was really more of a waste of time. To me, the emphasis of this is really to showcase what happened. You saw Sasha Banks' facial expression when Bayley lost, smiling, laughing, and then here comes Asuka attacking both, saying that neither one are going to be ready for her, you know, the classic Asuka line, and that she's ready to have two belts on her. Nobody's ready for her to have two belts with her. Attacks both of them. Sasha's knocked down the ramp. Bayley gets beaten up in the ring, runs past Sasha Banks, doesn't try to help her up, and then, oh, here we go now. So it is building to what we thought it was going to be. It's funny how, right? Several years ago, Jeff and I were talking about, you know, the fact that, oh, this is going to be the turn. This is going to be the turn, and it didn't happen. Now we're talking about how, wow, you should really keep them together. And WWE gets a whiff of what we're talking about and says, you know what? Now that the Jersey Red crew is talking about that, we're going to do the opposite now just to piss them off.
Like, I mean, okay, you know?
I mean, that's what the scenario is.
Yeah, and right now, Bayley, right now, Asuka is heading into SummerSlam with a lot of momentum right now because there is that dissension in the ranks. Maybe we're seeing that just because, you know, we want to see Asuka maybe have that, you know, that total momentum being in the heads of Sasha and Bayley. So maybe it may not be the full turn that we're looking for, but it may be planting the seed. And who knows if Bayley and Sasha are successful, all will be good in the world. All will be right, and they'll be the best of friends the next week, and they'll say, oh, how dominant we are and stuff like that. And then maybe we'll get that matchup at WrestleMania.
Well, here's one thing, too, just real quick. We're talking about the tag team division, right, how, you know, Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, they have nothing to work with right now in that tag team division. So what's the point of being the tag team champs, right? The whole storyline between Asuka and Sasha and Bayley, it's important. It's intriguing. It allows us to watch it because Sasha and Bayley have been all three brands, so they have been a dominant force. But to me, they have not done anything, in my opinion. They've done stuff to benefit themselves, to benefit their storyline of what they're doing with Asuka. But to me, it doesn't benefit the women's division. Because you've beaten everybody in the women's division. You buried them, basically, kind of in terms of their dominance. And now, when you look at the women's division, so what happens? Asuka now might potentially be a double champion. Who's going to defeat her if all these other women are basically not in storyline mode, and we don't know anything about them, basically.
Yeah. I mean, the most other person that's being focused right now is Mandy Rose in this battle with Sonya Deville. I mean, think about this, that matchup is going to be on SummerSlam, the hair versus hair match. Now it was relieved WWE as well. So, take it for what you want and how the women are being pushed here. But right now it's all centered around the belts, and it's basically Asuka, Bayley, and Sasha Banks. Hopefully when Charlotte returns, it'll be something better. But you know what? It just shows you too, right? The people that are like, oh, we've seen so much of Charlotte. And now people are like, oh, man, well, we miss Charlotte, right? It's crazy.
That's the way it is. Time makes the heart grow fonder, right? But here's the thing. I got some gears to grind with you. I got some things that now I'm a little annoyed with.
Let's go, trendsetter.
But I'm not going to be as negative as you are. But I'm going to state the obvious in terms of, what are we doing here? Okay, so after all this, nice little video package of the whole rivalry between Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt. Again, we're building towards the end of the show, guys. Mm-hmm. Nice little tease for you, right? And then all of a sudden, for some explicit reason, you talked about logic before, right? But then I stopped using that word. Inexplicable. I have my own vocabulary, Jeff. Stop it, right? So, we talked about logic in this whole wrestling world we talk about.
There we go. Let's
don't really have it. Doesn't make sense. Nikki Cross comes out, sits in a chair, and then talks about Alexa Bliss and her being friends for quite a while she's talked to her on the phone, and she says she acts like Alexa, she talks like Alexa, but she's not the Alexa Bliss that I know, and she has this fear that something bad's going to happen.
Not the Nikki Cross that I know that you shoved.
Wasn't
her.
It too long ago that you shoved your supposed best friend twice? Your obsession with the SmackDown Women's Championship was so much that you're willing to sacrifice your friendship and didn't even care that you left your friend there to be attacked by the Fiend, and yet
Speak it, girl.
And yet we think, then we want to buy into this garbage, in my opinion, of, how you are worried about your friend. And then also the thing, too, is like, Alexa Bliss, the real Alexa Bliss is warm and loving. No, she's not. Alexa Bliss is not that. She is cold, manipulative, cunning, all these wonderful attributes that I love about Alexa.
So before I get to my point, let's take a little time out here reflect on the beauty and the real Alexa Bliss.
That is all right.
Fine by me. All right. And the real Nikki Cross, trendsetter, is basically someone who's just going to shove their friend, physical abuse, the mental scars on Alexa Bliss for opening her up to Nikki Cross, for making her career.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
She opened her up, all right.
Oh, trendsetter.
What are you talking about? I'm validating your point. What are you talking about? Jeff, get your head out the
gutter,
man. Shame
on you, trendsetter. Shame.
No, you're shaming yourself, Jeff. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Get your mind right.
And another thing. Okay, we talked about Nikki Cross and the hypocrite she is, right? Let's talk about the biggest hypocrite in all of WWE. Not SmackDown, not Raw. The biggest hypocrite of them freaking all. Daniel Bryan, who we haven't seen. He's in the woods somewhere. He's changing diapers. He's planting trees. He's Johnny Appleseed, right? Walking out there.
He's probably breastfeeding for Brie Bella.
And all of nature.
Too.
Great. Thank you, Daniel Bryan.
Probably,
But you know what? Do us all a favor.
Come on.
Just stay away for a little bit, okay? I don't want you to go away forever. Hey, I love Daniel Bryan in the reality of what he does in the ring. And hey, I've always rooted for him, right? But now I just really can't stand him. So you know what? Please, Daniel, take a break. Be a dad. Be a family man. Take care of your family during this pandemic time. No problem there. So, hey, look, guess what? Because Roman Reigns is doing the same thing, and he's off social media. He's not nowhere to be seen. And hey, I'm okay with that when he eventually does come back. So just stay away. You know what? Because when you go out there and you spew that garbage, and talk about a guy who loves the environment, he's spewing garbage all over the universe with what's coming out of his mouth, right? He's such an environmentalist, right? Let's save the earth. No, the garbage is coming out of his mouth about talking about AJ Styles and what he did
pollution
to Jeff Hardy. And hit him back in the knee, and he shows that he is a coward. He is not a fighting champion.
I am so against AJ Styles having lost the Intercontinental title.
Well, we didn't even get into that, but okay, let's get into that now.
No, because this is what we're going to talk about, because it leads to the match. Jeff Hardy walks into the ring, obviously nursing that leg injury from before, and I don't like the direction just AJ Styles in general being this analytics guy going by the numbers. I love the reunion with Joe Park. Don't get me wrong, but AJ Styles is making, to me, is being made look like a fool, being like this, being married to this analytics. It's crap, man. And then AJ Styles loses Jeff Hardy. It just, you know, to me, Jeff Hardy didn't have any momentum going into this to even merit a title change. You're telling me Matt Riddle didn't deserve that title over Jeff Hardy? I don't get the booking whatsoever. I don't think it was the right time for AJ Styles to even build the thing. And here's the problem. Now we're going to play hot potato with this title. It's going to go back and forth, and it's never, ever going to get what it deserves, and that's having one guy build this title up so much. AJ was the guy. Now, listen, if Daniel Bryan had won it before, you know, hypocrite to the side, he would have been the guy to do it. But they just continue to make it look like the prop that it is. Build this thing up. I was really not a fan of Jeff Hardy becoming the champion. And now, hey, if we get maybe Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles at SummerSlam to save it, okay. But I haven't heard that there's going to be a match at SummerSlam. AJ Styles makes a promo at the end, looks foolish again because he looks like he's married to the analytics. Again, yelling at Joe Park. I mean, I don't want him to fall into that comedy act, but it looks like he is. I, for one, am not even 100% behind putting that title on Jeff Hardy.
No, I'm complete agreement with you there. I mean, at least not now. I mean, because you're building up towards SummerSlam. You'd think, if anything, that was going to be a SummerSlam match. But again, they wanted to do it for Thunderdome. They wanted to do it for the scenario that they're building up for this huge event, the go-home show of SmackDown, because now they're in the Amway Center as opposed to the Performance Center. But yeah, a lot of these things are confusing. Because here's the scenario, right? If you had done this, to the point where we kept the storyline between Jeff Hardy and Sheamus relatively shorter, and he came out the victor, okay, I would say, all right, I see it, because they're trying to build momentum for Jeff Hardy because supposedly this is his last run.
Well, he had defeated Sheamus right in the, yeah, the bar fight.
No, obviously, but I'm talking about the length of the story, of how much, yeah, they kept emphasizing and shoving down our throat.
But then, you know, that should be even an asterisk on that one because he won in home field advantage, though. That was just, Sheamus had no chance.
No, yeah, you're right. Again, a win is a win. It doesn't really matter.
It was 2-on-1. It was Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy and his tag team partner, Jack Daniels.
I understand your gripe with, yeah, it. I really understand.
But that's Jack, a true lower.
Exactly. But at the same time, a win's a win, Jeff.
Oh, man.
But in reality, like, if the storyline was shorter, it would make sense because Jeff did have a lot of momentum when he first came back after injury and dealing with all his personal demons. Mm. But now, because the whole scenario of the Jeff Hardy experience has been watered down for me, it really, you know, from a wrestling standpoint,
yeah, it works out.
Yeah.
Like, if it would have been, you know,
from a wrestling standpoint, hey, the match, he was injured with a knee, so we didn't get to see a great match between the two of them.
Redemption, guys. How about Jeff Hardy win the freaking tournament? That'd be great redemption because then he'd be like, wow, he's coming from the depths of where he came from. Won the IC title tournament. Don't even put him in that thing with Sheamus. Have him win it outright. But, you know, and two, I love AJ Styles as the Intercontinental Champion, and they didn't give it enough time for it to roll with it. Because now, if say he wins it back next week or some other, it's been hot potatoed. You know what I mean? Like, it's win-loss, and that title needs to be at least a good six-month reign. A six-month reign, to me, would have sufficed for me.
I mean, let's go back to what we do for our Wednesday shows, which we didn't do this week. It happens on Saturday for AEW Dynamite.
Oh, I know. But we came on here, and we were like, it just feels weird not doing a show. But now we're going
to
get
AEW. I need a break, to be honest with you. I need a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot, guys. It's a labor of love, but it's a lot of stuff that we do here for Wednesdays.
I might have found an empty folder if AEW was on Wednesday. But
yeah. But let's go back to AEW, though, and what they do.
Let's look at the AEW Championship and what
Cody has done with... Man, you're really with the impressions today. Jeez, like talking over me and stuff like that.
Dusty roads. Sorry.
That's all right. As long as you apologize and forgive yourself, Jeff, that's all that matters. But, yeah, I mean, you look at what they've done with building the belts and creating that prestige around it. I mean, the mere fact that Jericho was champion for so long and Cody's been champion to this day, and we'll find out what happens when he faces Brody Lee on Saturday, but he has been that fighting champion. Mm-hmm. They haven't given AJ Styles enough people to work with. Now, again, the Matt Riddles are cool, the you know, the Chad Gables and things of that nature, and, you know, the Tony Nieces and things of that – not Tony Nieces,
Drew Gulak.
Same thing. you're not giving him enough people to work with to have that title change.
Right?
Because if that title changes hands and AJ's built that title up even more, it means more for Jeff.
Good
now
point.
That's been kind of like been important. It hasn't been important. It's been showcased. It hasn't been showcased. Now that Jeff Hardy wins, it just kind of takes away the value of it anyway to begin with. And then you add on the comment, like the example you just made too. It become feels like it's being hot potato now. Because say AJ does win it back at some point, and then Jeff Hardy challenges him again. It's in a storyline that it's extending itself way too long. And you, for me at least personally, I lose the investment wanting to see it because I'm just like, okay, well maybe he'll win it, maybe he won't. I don't really care anymore. Type of scenario.
Yeah, and then so again, so we both, I've told you how we felt about the IC title, man. Kind of not big fans of what happened there, but now we go to, of course, what everyone has been leading up to. And I'll tell you one thing that I really had to chuckle about too, because I wonder if Corey Graves sometimes is like, man, I got to read this out loud, or I got to say this out loud. So we get Firefly Funhouse, and we get Bray Wyatt entertaining us because he's very good at this stuff, whatever. And then we get the whole Alexa Bliss thing, and they do a little sketch with the pig, and I don't know.
I can tell you, that was a little uncomfortable for me to watch.
This is
PG-13. It's like a really weird version of Sesame Street or something.
But
like that.
Braun Strowman finds where the Firefly Funhouse is now. So now I always thought the Firefly Funhouse was in the corner of like Death Valley and Parts Unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Corey Graves said it was backstage, so it kind of takes the mystique of
yeah, exactly
of where Firefly Funhouse is. I want to think it's like, you know, someplace scary, whatever.
And real quick. And you know what I hate to do is they give us the illusion as if, wow, Braun Strowman found where it was.
Oh, it's the like, parallel. And then this is the thing. Corey Graves goes, in that parallel universe that I'm like, oh.
So are we saying that Seth Rollins had that same thing too? And John Cena too? Because they both found where the Firefly Funhouse
was. So what makes Braun so different?
It's to the right of catering right before you heat the bathrooms. That's where it is, basically.
So that takes the mystique out of it.
Takes the mystique away.
Oh, man.
It was like back in the days of, I don't know if you remember this, real quick side note. I remember the Dungeon of Doom. And they had a scenario where the Taskmaster is talking just while all of a sudden come through a wall of boulders and breaks Hulk Hogan. It's like, how did I get here? Like, what are you talking about? How did I get here?
YouTube that. That's really good.
Oh, my goodness. That's trying to make the Firefly Funhouse. I can't say it.
The match, to me, caters to me because I want to see the fight. But the storyline doesn't. And that's fine. Whatever. I'll tune into SummerSlam to watch The Fiend take on Braun Strowman just because... you know, they have good chemistry and stuff like that. But the storyline is just a little tough to take. And again, like, it's coming on here and stating the thing, like, I've outgrown the storyline. If you're 13 and you're, like, enthralled with it, that's great because that's what they're trying to do. It's like you said, different flavors on the show. So, whatever. Some people might like the whole Sonya Deville-Mandy Rose rivalry. Some people love the whole Sasha Banks-Bailey feud with Asuka, right? Everyone likes this retribution angle. Some people love this. And I am more of a fan of them when they fight than this whole storyline. Then you see, you know, Bray Wyatt beating him down, then throws him off the loading dock. Thank God he's okay. That looked like a far, far fall. and then all of a sudden,
a far fall when you see him choke slam, and immediately you see Bray Wyatt's foot in the camera angle as he lands.
And I'm like, oh, the agents too, like, man, they're just yelling at the ambulance people, and they're loading Bray Wyatt. Now, Bray Wyatt, I can tell you this right now, is a guy who I think is attention to detail, and I think he's pissed off, saying, "Why couldn't I have been put in a mobilizer? Why are you picking me off? You're basically lifting him from his neck."
Well, here's the frustration, Jeff, right? They try to make it as realistic as possible to us, right? They try to, you know, sometimes when things are just like, oh, are you kidding me? You spoke about before. Are we 13? Are we 12? Are we 7? But yet you want to make it as, you want to sell it hard in terms of make it believable as possible.
Wait, what do you want to sell it? How do you want to sell it?
You want to sell it hard.
There you go.
But, or you want to sell it, we'll just go with that. But I was going to say something else, which, again, I don't want to bleep myself here on the show.
It's going to be an innuendo show, but exactly. Yeah, we don't want that.
But then exactly, but the point I'm trying to make here is that you do that and you try to do it straight-faced. This is the logical world and the bubble we live in, which is WWE. But then when you've seen it, we've seen it countless times, how many people have been beat up in the ring, backstage, and you see people come in the ambulance and how people were put in. tell me what logical sense it would make to anybody. If somebody was chokeslammed from where the truck and loading dock is to the cement floor, that you would see just people lift somebody up who could have a broken neck, have a broken back, yeah. a broken – just yeah. lift them up by his arms and his legs and put them on a stretcher. Are we seriously that cheap on detail to storyline? I mean, I know it's a small thing I'm nitpicking here, but come on, guys. I mean, it's the small little things that make it feel believable, make it feel real. I mean, you don't want us to believe that, but yet you want us to believe in the importance of retribution, that they're not part of the show, that this isn't something that the WWE is in control of, when you blatantly make it obvious that it is. So for me, that's the scenario. And then obviously to the end, they're screaming, they're yelling at the – these are public service people. Why are you yelling at the ambulance guy to go faster? Don't you want to get him there in one piece basically, because you basically – maybe broke his neck by loading him on the stretcher anyway, by doing it improperly. And then you slowly go down there and it backs up. And then all of a sudden, the doors open. And everybody, all the agents, all the refs, whoever's back there, like they stop in awe. And all of a sudden, you hear somebody in the background. I think it was Corey Graves saying, it's him. It's the Fiend. Mm. So very anticlimactic that would have been in the scenario. I was expecting Braun Strowman to come in with a truck and knock the ambulance over, and for some the ambulance to be tipped over, something with the ambulance, and then eventually at SummerSlam we would see the Fiend. So it was kind of an anticlimactic way to end the I knew what they were going for, but you know, the end didn't really wasn't that home run I think they're hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree, Trendsetter. And so we're going to get this matchup at SummerSlam, Trendsetter. And don't forget, too, that after the pummeling that Bray Wyatt did, he comes out as the Fiend and he starts laughing, sticks his tongue out at us, and we're supposed to be scared. But now, are you looking forward to this match? Now, you've seen the lead-up, the build-in. The go-home show is complete. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your enthusiasm to watching this matchup this Sunday at SummerSlam? You never saw it coming, by the way, which is their tag.
Then. Oh, I saw this coming a mile away, what was going on between Bray and Braun. So you're asking me specifically for this particular match?
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned. Honestly, yes, but not for the reason you think I'm excited for watching this. I'm not interested and invested in watching this to see what happens between the two individuals. I'm not really interested in that. They've kind of lost me in that aspect. I'm not interested in the Universal title. And, yo, guys, let's not forget, the Universal title is on the line here. It's for the Universal Championship, which they haven't really promoted a lot. They've done it during their packages, but they haven't emphasized the fact that, hey, this is for the Universal Championship. I was going to say United States. This is for the Universal Championship. It really doesn't have that much importance, because to me, the Intercontinental title is the most important title on SmackDown, in my opinion. What I'm interested in is what happens with Alexa Bliss. She could be she's going to be a pivotal figure in what the outcome is going to be in this match. Now, people have talked about, hey, maybe she now joins Bray Wyatt. Maybe now it's that scenario where she betrays Braun Strowman, which, you know, everybody would say she has every right to now, considering what Braun has said and done to her and abandoning her. And she abandons Nikki Cross as well and now joins the Fiend and now creates a stable. Maybe she could be the female version of what Sister Abigail might be. Who knows? So that's what intrigues me about this match, because she's been in the storyline. She's been involved. Now I want to know, where does Alexa Bliss land in this storyline? Where does she go? Is she side with Braun? Is she going to side the Fiend? Or even if they're going to add that in. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't even add in Alexa Bliss. But, you know, you would think the layman logic would be, yes, it would be involved. But that's what I'm interested in, Jeff. What are you interested in? Are you looking forward to this
fight?
Match?
I want to see where they go. And again, the Universal title has not even been a pinpoint in this at all.
No.
You don't see it. It's for the Universal Championship. You don't see that. And I don't understand what the problem is. And again, don't blame it. Don't blame this now on WWE giving the title to somebody that's not even in the company and that comes in whenever they please. This is somebody that has a title right now and they're not even pushing it. Like, they're telling you that this is beyond the WWE Universal Championship. It's pointless, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. The WWE Universal Championship or the WWE title, whatever, it should always be the focal point. It should be the surrounding figure of why the rivalries exist. I get this is personal, but this to me, you need to be, like, what's going to hurt the Fiend the most by keeping this title away from him? What's going to hurt Braun Strowman the most? How are you going to get your ultimate payback? Not by throwing him in some freaking swamp, by taking his Universal Championship. And that's, to me, what they have not done. I will watch it because I want to see a good fight. They have good chemistry. But I do not think that the focal point of the Universal title has been taking it to the max. I really don't.
Yeah. And a small side note for me, too. It's like, you know, we've done the scenario. We've seen the evolution of Braun. of Braun Strowman now to what his new look is now. We've seen the evolution of Bray Wyatt, right? Here's the difference, though. Bray Wyatt still looks very intimidating, especially with that mask and the Fiend look. Even when we went back to the old Bray Wyatt character in the Swamp match that he had with Braun Strowman. This whole head shave thing, I gotta say, I'm not a fan of it. No. And it kind of takes away a little bit of Braun. When Braun had the long mohawk, to me, that made him look more intimidating than a full bald head. So something's off there. I don't really know what they were thinking of or what they're going for. Maybe Braun just sick and tired of the hair and just wanted to shave it. But it didn't have, in my opinion, the impact that they were hoping for. Because to me, I look at it and it's like, okay, well, Braun's bald now, so what? No. You know, there's not a distinct difference. No difference in gear, no difference in look. Now, here's the thing. Like when we've ever seen scenarios where certain superstars or wrestlers have left for a period of time because of injury or something, a scenario like that, they come back looking really different. And if you're going to come back looking different in this short of time just with a shaved head, I'm sorry, that's not impactful. You don't look more – Braun Strowman does not look more intimidating with a bald head than he did the hair he had prior to it. So to me, it loses its ability where now he's the monster. Not really. You're the same guy. You look the same way. Yeah. Just have a different attitude. That's it.
Well, Trendsetter, I mean, SummerSlam is this Sunday, so definitely.
Are you looking forward to the card? Besides the main event, one of the main events.
SmackDown matches, honestly. I honestly do. I mean, I know Seth Rollins is going to take on
Dominic.
So, I mean, that'll be interesting. But again, I mean, it's crazy. Like, we've been so focused on SmackDown and AEW that, man, I'm going to leave Raw to some other guy, whatever, like that, because that is just, you know, to undertake. There's people that love it, people that like it, that want to be positive and put a spin on it. Congratulations. You want to do so, whatever, that's fine. I'm happy I'm watching SmackDown here, being able to talk about that show. We talked about Thunderdome. So, listen, I like Thunderdome. I get what they're doing here. They're trying to, you know, the visual, because you want to draw that fan to be like, I can't see the empty performance center again. At least AEW, you've got some fans around it. You're in a bigger location like Daly's Place over there in Jacksonville. So AEW does it right. And, of course, WWE is the machine. They're going to do it a little bit better with those virtual fans. But, you know, so it's a very impressive good build, and so now it comes to prediction time, Trendsetter, and I'm going to go, just by prediction, I'm going to say that Braun Strowman beats The Fiend.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to think The Fiend once again becomes the Universal Champion.
But is the title, title's online?
Title's online. It is. I've seen it. Okay. I've seen them. It is online. So we'll become a champion again with the help of Alexa Bliss.
Oh, yeah. That's the X Factor right there, Trendsetter. And listen, you know,
because I hate to say
there's
it,
got to be a reason why Nikki Cross has been in these problems as well. I gotta see where she could be another factor too.
And here's the sad thing, Jeff. Unfortunately, when we spoke about this earlier, when we knew this rivalry was going to happen, we're like, oh, what are you going to do? You're gonna kill the momentum of Braun Strowman, or what are you going to do now if the Fiend loses? Where does he go? I really think between the two, it's sad to say, but Braun Strowman's the most expendable guy of this whole thing because. Oh. You know, they've done it to him before.
No.
When he's had matches with Brock Lesnar, he thought this was the opportunity now that Braun was going to win, and they didn't. So I don't think, as much as he had his moment at WrestleMania, I think they look at him as expendable, where, you know, we could take the title off him now because this is more intriguing. And it's bad. It's sad for a guy who's talented as Braun, who I used to call him Braun Greenman. He's come leaps and bounds from where he used to be to where he started to where he is now. It's kind of sad to see.
Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville, hair versus hair, loser leaves WWE. I'm going to go Mandy Rose.
No disqualification as well.
No disqualification. Mandy Rose.
Wednesday, I'm going to say Mandy Rose. Wednesday, Rose. Wins too. Mandy Rose.
Bayley versus Asuka. I really believe one of them is going to lose that title just to add fuel to the fire for their breakup.
I think Sasha loses. Bayley retains.
Yep. So I think Bayley retains that. And I think. You know, I think that's it for the SmackDown.
I believe so.
Yeah. So there you go.
And there might be an IC title match, but we won't know. Yeah. Maybe it'll be on the pre-show. I don't know.
Oh. Perfect. On the pre-show,
yes.
The IC title match between Jeff Hardy and AJ, if they decide to do it. But on the pre-show, remember that, folks. It might be on the pre-show.
Not the post-show. The pre-show.
No. Trendsetter, good to be back, man. Again, it is so surreal to know that we were packing up Studio 51 and moving on to a nicer studio.
Whoa, a nicer. This is pretty nice.
It is pretty nice. Very quaint.
No, I know what you mean, though.
But, you know.
We're trying to move on to bigger and better things, obviously. Certain things have a time frame.
Yeah, this is definitely bigger and this is better. Trendsetter, so this is bittersweet. So we want to thank you guys for listening to the show, HSP, on the unofficial WWE podcast, the SmackDown review, and your little predictions there for SummerSlam this weekend. Hey, man, enjoy it, man. You got wrestling. You got NXT on Saturday. You got SummerSlam on Sunday. Saturday, too, you can go and you can watch AEW Dynamite. Then watch NXT TakeOver, and then the next day watch SummerSlam. So we will have your AEW recap show as well, too, on Saturday. So we definitely needed the time off on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to be refreshed.
We're going to have our wrestling fill this weekend, Jeff. It's ridiculous. You can't complain. There's nothing to do. No sports is on, or all your teams have been eliminated from the playoffs, whatever the case might be, or there's postponement in baseball. You can stick to watching wrestling because you're going to have it Saturday and Sunday. So there you go.
Yep. So definitely tune in. And then we'll be back here next week for your HSP SmackDown review, Trendsetter. I want to thank everybody here and Trendsetter. Take it away. Let's wrap it up.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Jeff. That is it for us. We are the Jersey Rank Crew. For my tag team partner, the Scoundrel, Jeff Martin. Nice haircut, by the way, Jeff. I am the Trendsetter, Brian Berga. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll catch you again next week talking about post-SummerSlam and where storylines are going and what SmackDown and Thunderdome have in store for us down the road. But just remember, because although all those things might change, one thing never changes. Because if you don't realize it by now, you will never realize it. But we will always remind you. We do this for one reason and one reason only, Jeff. And what is that? We do this for you, the crew. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Let's get a vaccine, please.
Please.